Brian Lehrer on WNYC. There are roughly 600 community gardens wedged and thriving in spaces all over the five boroughs. And from the Hope Garden on East 2nd Street to the Two Coves Garden at the end of Astoria Boulevard in Queens, they are all hot spots of debate. A 2002 agreement on community gardens is set to expire on September 17th. And with a few weeks of negotiations left to go, garden advocates are taking issue with part of the city's latest proposal. All gardens, it says, are for preservation as community gardens. That was from the 2002 agreement. But the language regarding permanence and protection today is different. It's different in this new proposal, and advocates are taking issue with that and other elements of the plan. Let's talk about it with Adrian Benepe, the New York City Parks Commissioner. Commissioner, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning.
Nice and later we'll have a couple of garden advocates to talk about why they see flaws in the plan. But let's start by discussing this issue of permanent protection. We understand that the city would get the right to move a garden and develop the land under this proposal. Is that correct?
Well, there's been a lot of misinformation. Things get around and you have the game of telephone. The city always had the right to develop the gardens, even under the agreement with the Attorney General. In fact, the new rules that we're proposing put more protections in place for the gardens in terms of notice. But that's less germane than the fact that in the 8 years since the Bloomberg administration has been in place and since the agreement was negotiated with the Attorney General, there has been no net loss of any gardens, even though a handful have been developed.
And when they were developed, what happened to the gardens that were on those sites?
They were replaced with other gardens. So other gardens were offered to them, and I think it's less than a handful. And, in many cases, the city needs to have the right not to develop so much because it's highly unlikely that these sites lend themselves to development. They tend to be small mid-block sites, in some cases, a sixth or a seventh of an acre. But that because they are publicly owned land, if for some reason these gardens, which depend completely on volunteer efforts, fail as gardens, the city has to have some leeway to do something else with those sites. And the first priority will always be to keep the garden and to see if there's another group or other gardeners who can come in or a land trust or something. But if the garden becomes derelict and becomes a nuisance and becomes a dumping ground or if activities are going on that are driving the neighbors crazy, the city has to have the leeway to take some action. And under the new rules, there would be much greater notice provisions for going through what they call a garden review. And in any event, if in the very rare circumstance the city may say we've got a really pressing need, a health care center or affordable housing, and we want to take this land and put it to some other use and or sell it to a developer, the property would have to go through ULURP in that case, which is a very long and arduous process.
The land review process.
The uniform land review process, yes. So it's... we are looking, just preface all of this by saying the Parks Department has been a partner with the gardeners now for many years. We have something called our Green Thumb Division, which is 15 full-time staff led by the remarkable Edie Stone, who are there to help service the gardens and gardeners to provide technical assistance and lumber and soil. We've worked to put in rainwater harvesting systems in more than 60 gardens. We've done capital upgrades with new sidewalks and fences. We've come in where there were gardens that had retaining walls that were collapsing into the neighborhood property and done capital upgrades. So, we're completely partners with the gardens and with the gardeners. I've been to many gardens. I go to the annual Garden Harvest Festival. I was with one of your forthcoming guests, Karen Washington, at the Harvest Festival last year, where it's kind of like a 4-H thing at a country fair, where they're judging the best carrots and the best zucchini and, really a wonderful thing. So, I think it... I don't blame people for worrying. People, by nature worry, I think, in some cases. People who style themselves as advocates who may or may not be gardeners, there's an issue that they can trumpet and make a lot of noise about. But I think at the end of the day, the gardens will be protected. We're totally open to some language changes in the proposed rules. We've been in negotiation with the gardeners for many months. We've been talking to the city council, to Chris Quinn and her staff. So it's been a very open process. We're genuinely interested in what the gardeners have to say. And I think the net effect is the rules, when they're put in place, probably with some tweaks, will end up providing protection that will seem adequate to most people. And like anything in New York you do, there will be some people who will say it's completely useless, and others will say it's great. So I think that's where we are.
And listeners, we want to hear from you about your community garden. What does it mean to you? And if your garden has been one of those moved, tell us what happened and whether that was satisfying to you. What would you like to see tomorrow as a protection for community gardens in New York City under the agreement now under negotiation? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or leave a comment on the Brian Lehrer Show page at WNYC.org. For Commissioner of Parks, Adrian Benepe. Just to be clear, because the critics do seem to be telling us that there's going to be a change here from permanent protection to not permanent protection and more discretion by the city to close a garden for development. Are you saying that there would be absolutely no change in that arena under the new proposal?
There was no permanence under the old agreement. The concept of permanence is something that's a very difficult concept, because these gardens are completely dependent on, you know, volunteer labor. If that ends, you can't say the garden is permanent.
Right. So that has to do with failed. That has to do with, as you said before, failing gardens.
And but I think also keep in mind that some gardens were transferred to other uses under the past agreement. So there's never been permanence. There's, you know, as I said, there's been misinformation. The idea that there was a commitment to permanence is simply not true. We're committed to permanently having gardens, but doesn't mean it'll be every garden on every corner exactly as it is.
There was a statement at the time of the previous agreement in 2002 by Mayor Bloomberg that we saw in print, where he said, "We are providing permanent protection to hundreds of community gardens throughout New York City."
Right.
So that was not an accurate statement?
What he said was, "We're providing the fact that there permanently will be community gardens." He didn't say that each garden exactly where it is will be preserved exactly as it is.
And, let's take a phone call. Here's Ben. Let's talk to Brian in the East Village first. Brian, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I read the proposed park change rule, and one of the stated goals of it is to balance affordable housing with public space, open space. And, so the goal really, I think, is to turn over a lot of these gardens to housing developments and so on, with a certain percentage set aside for affordable. And I think that's a false choice. If you walk around New York, there are plenty of empty residential developments, unfinished high-rises. We don't need to give up what little public space and open space we have in this city for the stated goal of affordable housing. There's plenty of residential development out there already.
Brian, do you have any particular plot in mind where this has happened over the last 8 years?
That I've noted, over the 8 years, the production's been pretty good. But, I mean, I can, for example, on 6th Street and Avenue B, that is, you know, a prime example of a developer's dream location, and it would be worth a lot of money. But it's, you know, why should we give up this open space? Why do we have to give the public space to land developers? You know, it's our space at this point. It's been there for 20 years, 25 years.
Brian, thank you very much. Commissioner, on the point that he raises and maybe plot.
It's very inaccurate. There's nothing in the rules that says we want to turn this over for affordable housing. It simply doesn't say that. And it's extremely unlikely that would happen in any large number of cases. It might happen in a very small number of cases, but it has not happened in 8 years. And, again, because of the nature of these properties, it's unlikely to happen. And, you know, it's fine to say the city wants to come in, the bulldozers are warming up, but that's hyperbole. And, you know, there's no black hole that will open up because this agreement ends. We're committed to it. Gardens need rules. The gardens, you know, continue to get better all the time. The process can continue. You know, we will continue the process and the discussion. We're speaking with the speaker's office and listening to the gardeners. I just think people seek to find ill will where there simply isn't. There's been nothing but goodwill from the Parks Department and other parts of the government toward the gardens.
Ben in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ben.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Commissioner Benepe. I have an idea. I've heard that in some cities they have taken community gardens and actually made them city parks so as to establish them permanently. I'd like to see New York City do that. Also, with this discussion, I have to say, as a gardener and someone who's watched some of these developments in the past, I'm nervous because with the Yankee Stadium land swap deal, a whole lot of parkland was taken for a big parking lot, and it still hasn't been replaced. So I'd like to hear the commissioner's comments on that.
Ben, thank you. On the issue of making it parkland, that is one of the points of discussion now, right? Whether to make some of these gardens officially, well, under your wing, part of the Parks Department.
Well, there are about 280 that are currently assigned to us. Hey, here's the difficulty with making them parks, legally parks. Currently, they're semi-privatized. That is, they're only open a maximum during the warm weather months to the public, to the general public, of about 20 hours a week. That's what's committed to in the agreements that we have with all the gardening groups. And by the way, under the terms of these agreements, we've done many good things for the gardens. We used to require liability insurance. We no longer do that. The city provides the liability backstop. But you have to remember, they're semi-privatized spaces. It could be a handful of gardeners who do it, or maybe one or two, maybe it's lots. But they're generally not open to the public, and they're open a few hours a week. They perform a valuable function as public space, but they don't necessarily function as public parks, and particularly if they, for some reason, are abandoned by gardeners. So these gardens depend in large measure on the energy of sometimes a small group of leadership. And at any given point, about 10% of our gardens are in state of dormancy, where a few people have moved away or the neighborhood has changed. And the things that some of your listeners don't hear that I hear are the emails and the letters and the phone calls from people who live next door to the gardens and write to me in very anguished tones about how their lives have been ruined by the garden, by the activities that take place, by the noise, by somebody keeping a chicken coop, whatever it might be. This is a big, crowded city, and most of these gardens live cheek by jowl with people's windows where they live in their bedrooms. So we have to sort of keep that in mind, that we have to make sure that the gardens function as gardens, that the rules are followed, and that they become, you know, that they're good neighbors to the neighbors.
All right. Anything else you want to say on this in our last 30 seconds?
Just this. You know, the process continues. There was a lot of very good testimony. The actual gardeners that we are working with are very reasonable people. That's why they garden, because they have the energy to do this. They know that they have an open dialogue with me and with our deputy commissioner, Larry Scott Blackman, and with Edie Stone, with Jack Lynn. This has been going on for years. We're like we're like family together, and we're not going to sell them out. The bulldozers aren't warming up. You know, there's no black hole. I think you're ratcheting down some of the extreme positions and saying, let's figure out how to do this. What can we do to help to ensure that the good, steady gardens continue, and that gardens aren't lost willy-nilly, that we recognize that they're very valuable. They play a valuable role, not necessarily as parks, but as part of the open space network. Yeah. And they provide food and fruit, fresh vegetables and fruits and oxygen and pollution mitigation and rainwater runoff. They provide a valuable service. The city recognizes that, and we're going to continue to recognize that and see how we can work to make the rules more palatable to the people who really need them, which is the gardeners.
New York City Parks Commissioner Adrian Benepy, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you, Brian.
And I'm joined now by Karen Washington, president of the New York City Community Garden Coalition. Karen, welcome back to WNYC.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
And I'm sure you were listening to what Commissioner Benepy had to say.
Yes.
And your coalition, I think, has said that the proposed plan does not go far enough in protecting community gardens. The commissioner seemed to say that they never had permanence of protection. So what's your reaction?
Well, I think that the rules and regulations must really be there to protect and preserve community gardens. If you look at the original agreement, there was language that stated that 198 gardens will be preserved as community gardens in open space. And what we're trying to do, let me just make this perfectly clear, that these are rules and regulations, and that the big picture is to have permanent legislation for community gardens. Rules and regulations can change. This is the beginning of a dialogue. I'm proud to see so many people that came out to support community gardens. Community gardens and urban farms should now be in the landscape of city development. Community gardens should be recognized as their own entity. As a coalition group, we will continue to work with the city to make sure that the community gardens are recognized in that capacity. Think of community gardens as extensions of our parks. The ones in Manhattan are extensions of Central Park. The ones in the Bronx, extension of Van Cortlandt Park, and so on. So if we can get the city to recognize community gardens as their own entity, I think that will go further in terms of preserving and protecting community gardens.
As their own entity, as parkland. And you heard the commissioner say that about half of the 600 community gardens in the city now are part of the Parks Department, but that there's value to having these as private spaces, as things that members of the community do on their own, not under the wing of government, and that it becomes especially difficult in the case of failed gardens, where people stop keeping them up for the government to have responsibility and to need to continue to maintain them as gardens in those circumstances. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, well, I think that, first of all, when the commissioner talks about community gardens as volunteers, yes, we are volunteers, but many of us are taxpayers, are voters, and really go beyond the framework of just, you know, supporting community gardens. That's number one. Number two, I think, in essence, if you look at the dynamics of community gardens, they're community resource centers, and they take the whole community at large in consideration. There are some gardens that may need help, and I think as a coalition, that's what we're trying to look towards, is to help those gardens that are failing. Right now, we're on the uprise. As you know, a lot of people are out of work. Community gardens now have become really an essential part of New York City. With the health challenges that we have a lot of people knocking on our doors, asking to get plots, asking to grow food. And I think as the mayor talks about his 2030 plan, I think what he leaves out is the importance of community gardens. Community gardens could be used as education centers, can be used to grow food. And I think that as we look at the future, right now New York City is leading the way in community gardens and urban agriculture. And I think as we look at the future, we need something concrete. Right now we have an administration, granted, that is somewhat receptive to community gardens. But what happens when that administration change? We do not want to go back to the Giuliani administration. We want to move forward so that the predecessors look at community gardens with intent of integrity, look at community gardens as part of the framework of New York City, look at community gardens as something that is worthwhile.
And we're going to be joined for our last few minutes on this as well by Ben Shepherd, a volunteer with the group Time's Up, the environmental advocacy group. Ben, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. So what do you want to add to this conversation that maybe Karen hasn't already said?
Well, Karen articulates a fabulous vision for what community gardens do, and I think all we're trying to say is gardens are part of the solution. I think that's what we all understand, and I think the reason this debate is so hot is because we're looking at a fundamental policy decision. Every public policy involves competing value positions. In my job, outside of being a volunteer with Time's Up, I teach policy at City University, and we ask students to look at competing values of every policy. And this, with this policy around the gardens, which is an 8-page memorandum, which over and over and over again uses the word transfer, doesn't use the word preservation, is remarkably absent from this garden, and Don't ask me. Ask Chris Amato, who is the lead attorney for the Spitzer Agreement, who has gone on record
from
on 2002. Tuesday.
Well, I don't know if you heard the commissioner before, but he said permanence was never part of the 2002 agreement, but that what they do have is alternative site offering. Let me just finish the question. In the very few cases where they did want to develop on the site of community gardens, they offered alternative sites, and they would continue to do that in the spirit of maintaining as much community garden land as we have today.
Well, sir, with all due respect to the commissioner, the word preservation is all over the Spitzer document. So, I mean,
I think he said the word permanence, wasn't it?
Right. I think there aren't alternative sites anymore. There aren't alternative sites. So that doesn't really pass the common sense test. I mean, I've seen gardens where somebody spent three decades putting together a garden. Then they're transferred to a dark little teeny area under a highway or something. That's not the same thing as a garden that it took a generation of neighborhood members to put together with sweat equity. That's
Karen,
a really
Karen
different
is that
image.
The, is that the central issue to you too? And then we're out of time.
Well, okay, I just want to say that right now we do have a working relationship with the Parks Department, with City Council, something unheard of under the Julian administration. And I think as we move forward, these are rules and regulations made to be changed, and I hope that from the testimony that the commissioner has heard, that they will come forth with some sort of wording that really establish community gardens as important entities in New York City. That's number one. But the real test is to find legislation that, in fact, recognizes community gardens as their own entity and gives them life and support as we move forward, so that when a developer or someone looks at a city record, they don't see a block and lot number, they see a community garden, and that means something.
Karen Washington, president of the New York City Community Garden Coalition. Ben Shepherd, a volunteer with Time's Up, the environmental advocacy group. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for having us.
And we heard previously from the New York City Parks Commissioner, Adrian Benepe. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, why e-books are actually outselling bound books now on Amazon.